Let's read together from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15. What do you confess when you say that he suffered during all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end, Christ bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race? Thus, by his suffering as the only atoning sacrifice, he has redeemed our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtained for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? Though innocent, Christ was condemned by an earthly judge, and so he freed us from the severe judgment of God that was to fall on us. Does it have a special meaning that Christ was crucified and did not die in a different way? Yes. Thereby I'm assured that he took upon himself the curse which lay on me. For a crucified one was cursed by God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, rejection is a painful thing. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. Most of us have in one form or another. There's times when children get neglected by parents who are too busy to spend time with them and nurture them. Even if this is not deliberate or even understood by the affected child, it can be deeply wounding. Psychiatrists call the results of this attachment disorder. Such children may find it difficult to form intimate relationships with others for the rest of their lives. There are times when kids get picked on at school, where they feel rejected and abandoned by those around them. Sometimes a couple dates, and one feels like this is not the relationship for them and ditches the other. That can hurt deeply. At times, a close friend will betray us, causing deep pain. Those who go through a marriage breakdown will often suffer intense feelings of worthlessness and despair. In this fallen world, we'll all at times suffer rejection. We'll experience the pain and the sadness of being cut off from the support and the care of others. Whether their actions were deliberate or not, they can still hurt us deeply. Yet we have a Savior who understands. Jesus, too, was rejected. What he went through on this earth was far worse than the most awful pain we will ever experience. Isaiah prophesied the following about the suffering servant of the Lord. He said, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Why did Jesus have to suffer so much? Why did he experience total and utter rejection? There is good news in his pain. There's something redemptive about his rejection. For Jesus endured it all for our sake. He was despised and rejected so that we might be accepted by God and never more be forsaken by him. That is the good news of the gospel. I preach to you God's word under the following theme: Jesus Christ suffered rejection in order to redeem us. He was rejected by his own people, by the governing authorities, and by God himself. In our catechism sermons, we're dealing with the second part of the Apostles' Creed about Jesus Christ God's only begotten Son, our Lord. We're going through the works of our Savior. Last week, we started to deal with the great humiliation that Christ underwent. In coming into this world, our Lord had to let go of the majesty and glory of heaven in order to be born in poverty and squalor. The King of the universe became a human being like us, subject to the sorrows and suffering that come from living in a fallen world. Today we focus on what we confess and we say that Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate. Our catechism asks, what do you confess when you say that he suffered? The answer says that Christ suffered during all the time that he lived on earth. This afternoon we want to trace the sufferings of Christ, especially his rejection by everyone he's associated with during his earthly ministry. We do so by looking particularly at how the Gospel of John highlights Christ's rejection. John's Gospel begins with the Word, who was with God and who was God. John says he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. It makes sense that the world did not know Jesus. Yet his own people, Israel, should have known him. It was they whom God had adopted as his own people. It was to them that he had revealed his glory. They were the ones with whom he had made his covenant. They had received all his gracious promises. They had so many prophecies of the coming Messiah. But God's own people did not receive Jesus. John's gospel is filled with many of the miraculous signs that Jesus did. It details how Jesus showed himself to be the promised Messiah. Yet time and again, the Jewish people rejected Jesus. After feeding a large crowd of thousands of people with a boy's lunch, Jesus spoke to the people saying, "I am the bread of life." The Jews responded by grumbling about this. They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" John records the rejection of the people. He writes, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." John 7 tells us about how Jesus attended the Passover feast in Jerusalem. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." When the people heard these words, some said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee?" Despite the authoritative words that Jesus spoke, the people didn't check to see where Jesus was born, but rejected him because they thought he was born in Galilee. In John 8, Jesus addressed the Jews who had believed in him. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This proved to be a challenging statement for these believing Jews. They responded that they were children of Abraham and had never been enslaved by anyone. Jesus spoke to them about how anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. He spoke about how they were seeking to kill him because his words had not found place in their hearts. This escalated into a discussion about who Jesus' father was and who was father of these Jewish people. They claimed, Abraham is our father. Jesus responded, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me. They responded with a dig about Jesus' birth, saying, we were not born of sexual immorality, presuming that Joseph had gotten Mary pregnant before they were married. Jesus tells them, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. They responded, claiming that Jesus was a Samaritan, that he had a demon. Later in this exchange, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you know what their response was? They picked up stones to stone him to death, proving Jesus was right when he said that they were seeking to kill him because they had no place for his words in their hearts. As Jesus' ministry progressed, more and more people rejected him and were violently opposed to him. Just imagine, beloved, the suffering that this brought to our Lord's heart. He was the one who had come to redeem his people at the cost of his own life. He gave them his all, showing compassion to them, healing them of their illnesses, teaching them the truths of the gospel. But all it brought Christ was more and more opposition and rejection. In John 12:27, John tells us about the struggles Jesus underwent when facing his crucifixion and death. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. A voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to Jesus. Jesus explained that the voice had come for the people's sake. He spoke about being lifted up to show by what kind of death he would die. When the people questioned Jesus, he said, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Again, John records the people's response. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. In the last days of his life, the Lord Jesus Christ underwent a great amount of suffering. He went up to Jerusalem with a full knowledge he was going there to die. And the process was not made easy for him. Each step of the way intensified his suffering. He knew that the crowds who sang hosannas were the same ones who would soon cry out, crucify him, crucify him. He was conscious of the fact that he would soon have to bear the full burden of God's wrath against our sins. It was not just the Jewish people or the wider group of followers that rejected Jesus. As the time grew closer to his death, Jesus suffered the rejection and estrangement from his 12 disciples. Christ went to the Passover feast with a group of disciples who did not understand what was going to happen to him, even though he had told them plainly. Jesus suffered the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him for a mere 30 pieces of silver. When he was arrested, Jesus was forsaken by his disciples. The only ones who followed him to the high priest's house were Peter and John. John 18 tells the story of how Peter denied Jesus three times. Can you imagine, beloved, living a life of constant rejection? Of never being able to fully trust yourself with another because you knew that in the end your trust would be betrayed? We were created for fellowship with one another. While Jesus did have times when he enjoyed close fellowship with the 12, In the end, this was all stripped away from him. Satan isolated our Lord. He made him feel all alone. Isaiah's prophecy came true. Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Do you know why Jesus was willing to suffer all that rejection? Why he was willing to walk the pathway of suffering to the bitter end? It was because of his great love for us. It was because Jesus knew he had to suffer and die as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus suffered deeply the effects of his people's rejection. It would have been soul-wrenching for him to be betrayed and forsaken and denied by the man he mentored for 3 years. But he did it all for us, to redeem us from our sins and restore us to communion with God, to make it possible for us to live in true love and fellowship with one another. Brings us to our second point. In it, we'll see how Jesus Christ was rejected by the governing authorities. Israel was ruled by two groups of people. The chief priests and elders had jurisdiction over religious matters. Their ruling council, the Sanhedrin, governed the people's daily lives in all matters of faith and morality. The Roman authorities oversaw civil and criminal matters. They had the power of the sword to impose punishments, and even death, if that was warranted. In his gospel, John makes clear that the Jewish religious leaders didn't like Jesus. He constantly rubbed them the wrong way. Jesus was wholeheartedly committed to doing the will of God, but he was strongly opposed to the traditions of the elders that the religious leaders imposed on God's people. They added so many burdensome rules and restrictions, it was hard for an ordinary Israelite to function in daily life. John 5 tells us about how Jesus healed an invalid at the pool called Bethesda. This man had been disabled for 38 years. Jesus commanded him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." The Jewish leaders admonished this man for carrying his pallet on the Sabbath day. When they found out that Jesus was the one who had healed this man, they were not happy. John writes, "And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath." Jesus responded, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." John comments, "This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." In John 9, Jesus heals a 40-year-old man who had been born blind. The reaction of the Pharisees was mixed. Some said, "This man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" The Pharisees questioned the formerly blind man, asking who had healed him. At the time, he did not know. They told him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man," they're referring to Jesus, "is a sinner." The blind man says he doesn't know if Jesus is a sinner. All he knows is that he was born blind and now he can see. The Pharisees tell the man, "We know that God has spoken through Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Because this formerly blind man claimed allegiance with Jesus, they cast him out of the synagogue. John 11 tells us about how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Because of this astounding miracle, many of the Jews believed in him. Note the response of the religious leaders. The chief priests and Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Then Caiaphas said that it was better that one man should die for the people than that the whole nation should perish. Jesus suffered the rejection of the religious leaders. It must have hurt him deeply. If anyone was aware of the Old Testament scriptures, it was the scribes and the Pharisees. They were aware of all the promises made about the coming Messiah. They saw them being fulfilled before their very eyes. But because they were envious of Jesus and the attention he drew, and because they were expecting a different kind of Messiah, they rejected the message he brought. Repeatedly, they tried to stone him. They plotted and they planned to put him to death. John 18 speaks about how the religious leaders co-opted a garrison of soldiers to arrest Jesus. They took him to Annas, head of the high priestly family, for a preliminary hearing. It doesn't appear that this was a lawful assembly. Annas objected Jesus to questioning, looking for material he could use to lay charges against him. Annas' purpose was to seek grounds to accuse Jesus of treason by raising up a rebel band against the Romans' rule, or of heresy by teaching doctrines that corrupted the Jewish faith. When questioning by the religious leaders proved unsuccessful, they led Jesus to the governor's headquarters. Christ's trial under Pontius Pilate makes clear to us that he was innocent. Our readings from John stress this. Chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the crowds instead cried out for the release of Barabbas. In John 19, verse 4, Pilate says, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews responded with cries to crucify Jesus. In verse 6, Pilate says, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." And in verse 12, John tells us that from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. Yet in the end, he gave in to the political pressure that the Jews put on him. Pilate sat down in the place of judgment and delivered Jesus up to be crucified, even though he was an innocent man. Our catechism asks, why did Jesus suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? The reason is that Jesus had to die under judicial sentence. The governing authorities of the power to impose the death sentence have been given that authority by God. Jesus was put to death by the official judgment of Pontius Pilate. It's important because it teaches us that Christ's death was not some horrible mistake. It was sanctioned by the highest judicial power in the land. If we remember that God is king over all the earth, and that all human authorities are subservient to him, and we see Pilate's judgment was authorized by God. Pilate served as an instrument by which Christ came under the most severe judgment of God. For us, the central point of Christ's suffering and death under Pontius Pilate is that Christ has delivered us from the judgment of God. Although Christ was innocent, he took on himself the severe judgment of God that would have fallen on us. Do you know what that means for us, beloved? It means we don't have to worry about appearing before the judgment seat of God on the final day. Jesus Christ will stand up as our mediator, as our lawyer, as our advocate. He will point to the blood he shed on our behalf. The result is that instead of rejecting us and condemning us for our sins, God will declare us not guilty of any sin. And so we'll experience freedom and life. Brings us to our final point, and it will see that Jesus was rejected by God himself. Striking that Jesus died by crucifixion. The Roman government used different forms of capital punishment. It's common for people to be executed by having their heads cut off from their bodies. And when the Romans wanted to make an example of people guilty of rebellion or other serious crimes, they crucified them. The suffering someone undergoes when they're hung on a cross is excruciating. This kind of death was used as a deterrent, warning others not to commit crimes worthy of that kind of death. For the Jews, crucifixion had a different meaning. God's law spoke about this kind of death. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23 says that anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. The Jewish leaders incited the crowds to call out to Pilate for Jesus' crucifixion. They figured if Jesus was crucified, it would clearly show the people that he could not be the Son of God. For what kind of father would allow his son to come under that kind of curse? The answer to this question is really plain. God allowed his son to come under his curse. Jesus needed to bear God's curse to deliver us from the curse that lay on us. As Paul says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He took upon himself the curse that we deserved. On the cross, Jesus suffered the deepest shame and anguish of hell. He was forsaken by God that we might nevermore be forsaken by him. Christ took God's curse on himself so that he might fill us with his blessing. It's an incredibly rich comfort for us, beloved. If God's curse remained on us, we'd be lost in our sins, without hope in this world. It is a terrible thing to be rejected by God, alienated from him, with his curse resting on you. Yet Christ's crucifixion gives us hope for the future. In Christ, God has promised he will nevermore reject us or forsake us. Instead, he'll be with us always. He will guide and direct our lives by his Spirit. He will preserve us in the redemption Christ has obtained for us. He'll allow us to share in his glory forevermore. All these blessings are ours because Christ bore God's curse for us. This afternoon, we've considered the terrible rejection Jesus suffered at the hands of God's people, the governing authorities, and even God himself. Jesus was willing to suffer that rejection, being abandoned and forsaken by everyone whom he held dear. You know why? It was to redeem us and restore us to communion with God and to fellowship with one another. This does not mean that we will never suffer rejection. People can be cruel. They can hurt us deeply. But God is always faithful. He will never despise or reject or forsake any of his beloved people. And we, those who are in Christ, need to continue to learn from our Savior's example. We are to love one another as Christ first loved us. Instead of rejecting or excluding each other, we need to learn to accept each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to bear one another's burdens, to support each other as we walk through this life. Amen.